Last week we looked at what the Bible has to say about the church, and we saw that the church really is what the human race was created to be. And not meaning that in the sense of the church as an institution eradicates other institutions such as family or the local community and so forth, but meaning that simply the human race was created for a spiritual union with God, a fundamental relationship with God, and then everything flowing outward from that, every other relationship flowing outward from that, which is really another way of saying all of life flowing out from that. Because if there's one thing that people instinctively know, and this includes unbelievers the world over, it's that life and happiness is really a matter of loving and being loved. If your relationships are good, your life is good. Even if you may have challenges in terms of finances and so forth, if your relationships are good, if they're full, they're rich, they're blessed, your life is good. If your relationships are not good, your life is not good. It doesn't matter what else is true. And that's really what we were created for, and the church is a restoration of that through Jesus Christ. Now, today we look at the communion of the saints, because we saw last week that with the church, as amazing as it seems to us, because we're all sinners, we know how fallen we are, we know how many ways we fall short, and yet the Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians that the church is where Jesus not only points the world, but he actually points the angels who have watched this entire saga of redemption over thousands of years as the one true God has pursued people who turned their backs on him, who mutinied against him, who rejected him, and went off and lived a life that was a complete perversion of what God intended. The angels have watched how God has pursued us, and they've watched how God sent forth his Son. And the church is where Jesus points the angels and says, see, do you understand why? Do you know where this is going? And the angels see and they understand. It's also where Jesus points the world. And so when Jesus makes the very famous statement in John chapter 13, and he says, love one another as I have loved you, by this all will know you are my disciples. Another way Jesus could have said that was this: the communion of the saints, by this all will know you are my disciples. Now, what Jesus is really saying there is that in the communion of the saints, that is, in a group of people in a fallen world who are fallen people, but who are nevertheless loving one another in real time, in the real world, the same way that Jesus loved them, that is the fundamental miracle which the world cannot reproduce, and therefore which testifies to all that God, the living God, is in this place. The living God has broken into history through Christ. And this is the miracle that authenticates that. And so oftentimes we think, as we are trying to testify to unbelievers or perhaps even testify to our own children or family members, we want some kind of a sign, we want some kind of a miracle to authenticate the truth. Well, this is the one. This is the fundamental miracle which the world cannot reproduce. Because when we lost our relationship with God, we lost the ability to have true communion with one another. And we see it in Genesis immediately. Immediately after sin, we see Adam and Eve now. Whereas before, the fundamental differences between male and female were causes for gratitude and wonder and thankfulness. All of a sudden, they become irritations, and they become stumbling blocks, and they begin to have conflict with one another and to turn against one another. In the very next generation, we see how quickly murder comes about. It doesn't take 10 generations, it takes one. We see the conflict between Cain and Abel. We see how evil the antediluvian world was and how filled with violence it was. And God had to fragment the human race at the Tower of Babel to hold down the amount of violence and evil. The communion of the saints, true relationships, is the one thing that the world cannot produce. And the world careens back and forth between emphasizing hyper-privatized experience in which each person tries desperately to create a world of their own reality, a world that will in some way give them some sort of significance and meaning and happiness. You see that increasingly in our society today, where people are trying to create their own private spheres of existence and reality and truth. And layered over the top of that, you have a propensity toward an increasingly authoritarian and arbitrary state which governs public truth and life in the public square. And the two things actually go together. You can see this in the ancient Roman world, where it was Caesar who defined public truth. It was Caesar who was Lord. It was Caesar who had an authoritarian control over the public square and public truth. And at the same time, people were encouraged more and more and more privately to go further and further into themselves, further and further into their own private realms of reality and entertainment and so forth to occupy the people. That's the way you occupy the masses. And so you have this growing radical privatization and individuality. At the same time, you have a growing arbitrary and authoritarian state. The two actually feed off of one another. You see, apart from the living God, it can never be true that it is more blessed to give than to receive, which is what you have to have if you're going to have true communion and true relationships. Apart from the living God and his life, the triune life between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, apart from the living God breaking into history through Jesus Christ, it is simply insane to say that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so you simply have no basis for true communion. You have no basis for true relationships at all. And so of all the miracles that we could wish for, we should ask for Christ, Lord, let us know, let us experience the true communion of the saints. The communion we have because there is one true living God. There is one body of Christ. There is one Holy Spirit. There is one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. That is what we should be after. And this is the one miracle that Jesus seeks to bestow on every local church, the communion of the saints. May Christ be gracious and let us experience it to the full. In Jesus' name, amen.